We're going to jump right into the Word. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew 28. When you get there, say amen. And Jesus came and spoke unto them. I just love that Jesus comes and speaks. And that's not done. It's not finished. It's not just biblical times. Jesus didn't just show up here and spoke, but Jesus is still showing up and speaking to our hearts, still speaking, guiding, and directing us in all things. And then even speaking in a manner that we may not even think that he's speaking, because, you know, we get so earthly minded that we believe something has to manifest and speak to us. But God leads and guides us and nudges in our heart, words, and even does the silliest things. Some of you, it is absolutely ridiculous how God speaks to you and how you've got the direction or the answer. Some of you were watching a movie that was rated R and God spoke to you right in the midst of it. Oh, the old timers would have crucified you upside down because you weren't worthy to come to church. But you watched a movie where people died and the Lord spoke to you. No, I'm not advocating movies you shouldn't watch. There are absolutely certain things we shouldn't watch. And then there's some things that we need to judge whether or not we should be involved in. And certain things affect certain people differently. And so we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and obey. Just because your friend or another person in church has a liberty to do something doesn't mean you have the liberty to do something. Oh, that's good preaching. And that's why we don't get legalistic about things either. Y'all all know my story. Tim, you need to quit drinking coffee. Get thee behind me, Satan. God may have spoke that to you, but that is not only do I think I shouldn't quit drinking coffee, I think I should have espresso every once in a while. And what are those little Italian things that have espresso drizzled or the fingers dipped in it? What is that dessert? Huh? Tiramisu, thank you. Tiramisu, just nothing but espresso in cake form. It's just delicious. And so in all of this, you know, we don't make things that God has spoken to us personally. We don't make it doctrine for everybody. Because that's, I mean, the church gets in trouble for stuff like this. Let's not do that. But God is still speaking. Look to your neighbor and say, God is still speaking. And then I like just how he clarifies it. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, just in case you were wondering if the earth had to obey him. He says, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. Go you therefore. Look at your neighbor and say, go. Not right now. Everybody sit down. But go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now let me tell you something. Lo does not mean here on earth lo. I've had my daddy use this scripture to tell me that he doesn't fly because the Lord says, lo. Says he ain't up there with me. He's down here with me. I'm like, Daddy, he is with you wherever you go. If we go to Mars, God is there. The Voyager 1, Voyager 1 is out in the deepest, darkest parts, actually out of our galaxy, but most of the instrumentation quit a long time ago, right? And so we don't have any readings from dark space. That's what they call it, dark space, until they get into the next galaxy. But Voyager 2 has just got out of our solar system, and the instrumentation is still working. I know most of you have been on pins and needles waiting for the reports to come back. Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. And so I am excited. I'm waiting. I'm on a mailing list. And when they release it, I'm going to get updated. We'll get stuff that is out there that we have no idea of. But even if we sent people that far into space, God would be with them. Oh, let's even just answer this question. People ask me, Pastor, we're going a really weird direction this morning. That's all right. So people have asked me, Pastor, are there aliens out there? Are there aliens? Do they have spaceships? Do they have all this stuff? And I'm here like, well, if you watch History Channel, then absolutely. Come on, the guy with the hair, love him. But this is it. By definition of alien, absolutely. Every angel is an alien. God is an alien. He wasn't born on this earth. Angels wasn't born here. They are an alien to this world. And so I always want to have a conversation with the guy on the History Channel. None of you watch it. All right. I love aliens. I don't watch it with my kids because I don't want them freaking. But, you know, I'm here like, of course there were beings that got into the right moment of history. Absolutely. Kings and queens, their mentalities were changed at the last minute by someone they have no idea. You want to know why somebody could get in the throne room of a king? Because they were sent there by God. And whether he used a human or an angel, don't give a rip, he can still do it. The moment God needs somebody to appear in one place and out from another, he can and will do it. He shapes nations. And they're like, what if this idea was given to us by extraterrestrials? It was! God gave us the idea. What caused this leap in all of humanity? It was the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. Could it have been? Could it have been that we were visited? Yes, we're visited every day. We're visited constantly in our dreams, our visions, our understanding. God comes down and still speaks to his people. Oh, I'm going to calm right on down here. God is with you. So look at this. What I want to look at, one of the things this morning, is the Great Commission. And I want to look at it, and I want you to notice two things, probably in the original language. I don't know, but it's good stuff. So the first one is, this is a command. God did not ask us to, hey, you know it's Christmas time. I know you're very busy, and I know there's a lot of extra expenses. There was even one thing, you know, I had a little extra cash come to me from some family members, and I told Jesse, I said, I got an idea of what I want to do with this. And then she said, before I could say it, you want to put that in our account so we can buy more Christmas presents with it? And I go, yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. But if extra came in, this is what I would want to do with it. But as of right now, yes, I want to be able to buy mine and your parents better gifts. So that's what we're going to do. Single tier. and so in this, goodness gracious, y'all got me out. This is a command. God doesn't say that, hey, I want you to spread the gospel. I want you to teach people about me if it fits into your schedule. He says, I want you to go to the highways and the byways. I want you to make disciples. I want you to teach other people. And he even ends it with, I command you. I command you. I have commanded you. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not a suggestion. It is a commandment. Look at the disappointment on my face. Look at your other neighbor and tell him again. No. All right, I will get back to y'all. I will get back to you. But a lot of us, we go to work and we say, you know what, I'm going to ignore Brenda because Brenda doesn't give her life to Jesus and all Brenda talks about is what she did last weekend. And Brenda doesn't invite me to anything because Brenda knows my life, so our lives clash. And I'm glad she doesn't invite me to anything because I would tell her no anyway because she's Brenda. But, you know, there's Bob. Bob, he goes to a Methodist church. He's a Methodist. We'll ignore that part, you know, but thankfully at least he knows Jesus. So I'll stop by Bob's office and maybe see him during lunch, and I'll say, hey, Bob, we love you, Bob. Good to see you, Bob. How was church, Bob? And he'll tell me all the doctrine that's wrong, and I'll slightly correct him. You know, tell him, you know, the word, and he doesn't believe in the Holy Spirit, and I'll just pray in tongues under my breath the whole time I'm speaking, Bob. Oh, it slipped out. Sorry, Bob. And Bob is, you know, he's over there. I'll be like, oh, get thee behind me, Satan. That's the devil. And so we have these friends, and we try to isolate ourselves. We try to put ourselves in a bubble because we don't want the world to infiltrate our spot. We don't want the world dirtying up or getting in or giving us a bad mover. Or, you know, they're spirits. And I'm not mocking spirits. They're spirits. And I don't want any of those evil spirits to get a hold of me. You got to say it. Spirits. Got to say it that way. Spirits are spirits out there, and I don't want those spirits to get on me, and I don't want to bring them home. Got to tell you something. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Do you know it? Because this is what happens. The church has had it wrong for so many times. We go into a room shaking boots if we believe there's evil spirits. We shake in our boots. Evil spirits. But if you could see in the spirit realm, the moment you walked in, all the little imps, all the little demons, all the little spirits are shaken. What is the Methodist Bob going to say? Even the Methodists have more power than any Satan. Even the Baptists, even the non-denominationals, the Catholics, all of them, they have more power than any imp or demon in the spiritual realm. If they just knew, understood their position. If they would just stand in their position, they got more power. Look at your neighbor and say, more power. All right, y'all did better. I'm liking this. You're getting there. And so the Christians want to isolate themselves. Because, you know, our greatest example of Jesus, that's how he did it, right? Never mixed with the world. Never went to dinner with them. Never invited them to dinner with him. Oh, no, Jesus didn't. Oh, wait. It actually said the Pharisees and Sadducees tried to lecture Jesus because he noticed he ate with sinners. Now, that's not an excuse for you to go get drunk as Cooter Brown because you say, I'm eating with sinners. Blessed be the name of Jesus. No. It's not partaking. Jesus never partook in sin. He never got drunk. He never did drugs. He never did any of these things. No condemnation if you were there or did that this morning or last night. Doesn't matter. If you've asked for forgiveness, we move on, right? But we repent, we turn. So we stop and we turn. Okay, anyway, the point is Jesus didn't isolate himself. He was in the middle of all of it. Now, there were times he needed to get away. I don't need no, you know, in-depth teaching on, and I'm not going to give an in-depth teaching on how Jesus rejuvenated himself and stayed built up in the Holy Spirit, but you can by praying in other tongues, building yourself up in your most holy faith. The world will drain from you. There are times you're going to need to get away and build yourself up, but you were never meant to be isolated. You were meant to be a witness to Brenda. You were meant to be a witness to Bob. And Bob, if he gave his life to Jesus, he should be a witness to you as well. And you should be able to receive from Bob, even though Bob doesn't speak in tongues. And even though your doctrine is different than his, you should still be able to receive. Because we're all family in the body of Christ. We were never meant to isolate ourselves. I'm not telling you you need to go out and immerse yourself in evil places. I'm just saying you shouldn't isolate yourself. Who are you going to preach the gospel to? To, you know, your other brothers and Christians here in the Bible Belt and in the church and all this? Is this where you're supposed to stand up for Jesus? Do you know what? I'll tell you this. I was at Chick-fil-A, which we know is the headquarters for all Christian activity in all the world. It's there, right? You said boo? Ushers, please drag this person out of the church. Beating them profusely. If you don't like Chick-fil-A, we'll cast that out of you before you leave. But I even remember, I almost believe you have to check, do you believe in Christ on the job application? That's not true because they're an equal hiring employer or whatever. And so in all of this, there's a lady there who even said something to me. She said, talked about her back hurting. And I instantly on the inside of me, I'm like, pray for it. And I didn't immediately obey. And it really bothered me, you know, because your pastor is supposed to be perfect, right? But I didn't pray for her. And I just thought, I hate that. I missed it. And then she came back and she said to our table, so-and-so needs prayer too. I said, well, let's pray for her right now. And so it gave me an excuse to grab her hand. And we prayed right then and there with her. And then I prayed for her for healing for her back. And then I felt better because God gave me a second chance to pray for the lady. But this is it. That's a safe place to pray. If you don't feel that, you don't sense the spiritual climate. Chick-fil-A has a high spiritual climate in a good manner. There's a lot of Christians that eat there that are faithful to that place. But I'm not saying there's nothing evil or wrong in any Chick-fil-A. I'm sure there is. But I'm just saying that's a safe place. And I missed it the first chance. And thank God I got a second chance to do what God has called me to do. But we shouldn't just be able to pray so bold and openly in Chick-fil-A and not Wendy's. Our McDonald's, our Burger King, our Culver's, our grocery store, wherever else you eat or feel comfortable with, we should be able to pray for people right where we are. And yes, that may take people back. And I've even been turned down. I've asked, can I pray for you? And I've had people go, no. Like, I saw a lady one time. I was walking down a bike path, and a lady swerved to miss somebody, and she hit another bike that was coming up beside her. She fell over, broke her glasses, cracked her helmet, and just as soon as I saw her, I ran up to her. Someone was calling 911, and I'm talking to her, and she's not responding. She's just like, out there. And so finally, she came to, and I could see in her eyes that all of a sudden, she's trying to figure out what's going on. And I said, hey, you were in an accident. You're okay. An ambulance is coming. I said, I am saved, filled with the power of God on the inside of me. I'd like to pray for you right now for healing in your body. Do you mind? And she goes, mm-hmm. I'm like, is that a yes you want me to pray for you or a yes you don't want me to? I do not want you to. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, she won't understand that language and she probably won't even remember this. She took a hard hit to the head. And so I'm like, I'm good no matter what. And so I prayed for her right then and there. And people, because I'm in Madison, they believe I'm a foreigner. They don't know any better. People speak all kinds of languages in this state and in this city. So I just prayed in tongues and prayed for healing, and then the ambulance got her. I have no idea follow-up, but I believe it was better because she had an interaction with me. In France, when I was a missionary in France, I preached along the lines of, we need to go to the highways and byways, and kind of told my stories of some things. And a lady came to me the next week and said she had a moment. After I preached, she went to the grocery store. A woman had a seizure, hit her head, and blood was going everywhere. And she said, all of a sudden, on the inside of me, I almost went the other way. But she said, on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, it is my duty. If I don't go over to help save her life, who else will? Who else has the power to do so? I have the spiritual power on the inside of me to help her. She said, I went over and I commanded the bleeding to stop. I put my hands on her head and commanded the bleeding to stop. And he said, the bleeding stopped. And she said, all of a sudden, the other people looked at me and asked, are you a nurse? How did you get the blood to stop? And she said, I commanded it to in the name of Jesus. And she was so excited about what she did. I'm going to tell you something. This is what we're called to do. Being a disciple of Jesus Christ is more than just going with a bullhorn or standing and talking the gospel. Now, it is. I'm not saying a bullhorn. But sharing the gospel with people is preaching the gospel. It is being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But we need to be that where it matters too. We need to lay hands on the sick. We got examples in the Bible. Silver and gold have I none. I hope I never have the ability to save that. But silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I will give unto you freely. Rise up and walk. What do? They rose up and they walked. We should be disciples of Jesus wherever we go. Our whole life should preach the gospel. Now, we don't get so much on one side that we get our validation of preaching the gospel because we're on the street holding signs. And we shouldn't go the other route that my life, my very life preaches Jesus. Are both those true? Yes! But you should be operating in all of them. You should feel free to share the message of Jesus Christ, and you should feel free to allow your life to shine the message of Jesus Christ. It shouldn't be one or the other, because then somehow in church, we the ones who go out and preach and share the gospel condemn those who don't, and those who don't say, my life lives, and they condemn those who do. No, it should be equal, your life, both. We should have it all. We should be displaying Jesus just in our life. If nobody knew something, they should know something's different about you because you don't cuss and fuss like everybody else does. You don't panic like everybody else does. All of a sudden, in your workplace, they begin to cut people. And everybody panics. Oh my gosh, everybody look busy. And they become the best employees for a couple hours. Or they begin to look on the internet, where are job openings? And they begin to scan, and they're doing all this. But you keep your stuff together. Oh, I churched it up because the first words came to my mind was crap. That's personal growth. And so you're keeping your stuff together. And so as you're keeping your stuff together, people realize all of a sudden there's something different about you. What's different about you? Be like, I have peace. Whether I keep this job or whether I don't, God is my supplier. And I'm confident that if this job closes, God will advance me to another position. And we keep that mentality, and people hear that and they don't know what to do with that. You know, sickness or a family member dies and the world panics. But we, of course we mourn, but there's a difference. And they'll ask you, well, what is that difference? I know to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord. I know their life. I know what that they lived. I will see them again. How could you be so confident? And then you're able to share the gospel with them. There are moments in life that people will open the door to hear the gospel. And you've got to be prepared and recognize this is that moment. This is that moment. Now, look. It needs to be natural. It needs to be a part of you. It doesn't need to be weird, and it doesn't need to be, you know, forceful. Ask God to open the doors. Ask God to give you opportunities. I've never met anyone who asked for the opportunity that God did not supply it. God will supply you opportunities, and be ready, because when you ask, normally it's very quick. Normally, it is very, very quick. But you ask, and God will give you the opportunity. So, now look, you know, there's people who block everybody on Facebook. I've done that. Just because I didn't want to read, it was influencing. I felt like it should influence my messages. So, I didn't want to read anybody's updates. So, people are like, you follow me on Facebook? I know that's why you said that. No, I'm not. Not following your feed. I didn't want that. But I'm not saying that's what you need to do. You don't need to block everybody on Facebook. If you did, that's fine. That's your sanity. You do whatever you need to do. But we don't have to isolate ourselves and never talk to people in the world because something's going to get on us. It happens. The anointing means to smear. Have you ever got something on you that smears? My mechanics, hello, that black grease, that dark grease, when you get that on you, that's hard to get off. And it not only will that smear, it'll get off on your clothes. My grandfather, he had a shower in the garage. Now, it was an enclosed shower. I don't want you to picture my granddaddy just naked in the garage. That's gross. That's disgusting. I can't believe you would picture that. But he had an enclosed bathroom. And when he would get home from work, all his dirty work clothes, because it was grease everywhere, would go outside. Never even came in the house. And then he would wash, and he had clothes out there that he would change into to come in the house. Why? Because there was some anointing on him. There was some grease that would smear on him that ain't easy to get off. And so what happens is you get in the world on the subway and you run into somebody and it smears on them, it gets on them, or you're interacting at work and you tell them just a little testimony and it smears on them and it stays with them. There's stories that you have smeared onto someone because they are anointed, and when they get in trouble, all of a sudden that anointing manifests. They remembered a story they would never ever remember, but they remembered it because it was smeared on. And the anointing rises up on the inside of them, and they go to the person that smeared it on them. And then they begin to ask questions. Now, all of a sudden, a story you told 7 years ago has caused an opportunity for you to share more of the gospel. It could be their very salvation. There are people who do not claim to be Christians that come to me for prayer when they're sick. Why? Because I prayed for them the first time when they were sick. This is what they wanted to do. This is what most people wanted to do. I want to tell you, I have something going on because I know you're saved. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of mystical ways and crystals and all this that I can get to him, but you know him. So I want to tell you my story. And this is what they want me to do. I want you to pray for me. And what they mean is not right now. But I want you to pray for me later. I want you to do the spiritual thing later. And I don't do that. I don't do it later. I do, but I do it now. And I lay hands on them. And I pray for them. And and healing has manifested in their life. I love the stories. But this is the deal. You got to have faith no matter what happens. If they feel nothing, you got to have faith that what you did something. God put you there for a reason. He doesn't put you there so you drown and look foolish. He put you there to be victorious. And so it's wonderful when people have an experience right then and there. And I believe that happens a lot. But when they don't, you stand in faith. But there's people who are like, I love this one. What kind of preacher trick was that? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, when you laid hands on me, your hands were just like fire. They were hot. And when you prayed for me, it just went down slowly. Like it just went all the way down my body. What did you do? And so then I was able to say, well, you know, it doesn't always happen that way, but sometimes when I lay hands on you, the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me. And when I lay hands on you, there have been people who have explained the feeling of the power of the Holy Spirit going over them like warm, hot honey rolling down their body. And I said, that's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. And I just remember them. Mm-hmm. Their lips pursed a little, which means I'm not sure if I believe that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Body language tells a lot. And they're like, mm-hmm. But you know what? They went away. They came back. They had a report that it wasn't there. What they thought was there was not there. And we praise God. They said, oh, they misdiagnosed me. And I looked. I said, no, they did not. They did not misdiagnose you. I said, you remember that preacher trick? That warmness? That was the Holy Spirit. God healed you. Mm-hmm. Person of lips. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what happened? Next time they had something like that, who they going to call? Me. Yeah, that's right. That's me. It was me. And so prayed for them again. And God healed them again. So there are people that are not even in the body of Christ that will come to me. Why? Because I was faithful to operate. Not pray for them. And this is what most Christians do. I'll pray for you, brother. And then they never pray. They never do jack. We are not those kinds of Christians. When people ask us to pray, we pray then. We pray right now, no matter who's watching us, no matter where we are, we pray. We don't have to do this big thing with, Lord Jesus, oh my God, and we have to pray in King James English. We don't have to do any of that. We can just be bold. And boldness, look, boldness doesn't have to yell. Sometimes it does, but boldness doesn't have to yell. When I tell my kids to do something, I don't yell at them every time. I don't yell at them every time. A lot of them are like, hey, go do this. Hey, I told you to go do this. Hey, didn't I tell you to go do this? Go do it! And then they go do it. Yeah. And I hate that. I've even told Jesse, I don't know why screaming works. I wish it didn't, but it does. I don't scream at them all the time. Don't go out of here and think pastor abuses his kids. No. We're not. And so in all of this, you know, I speak very plainly to get something done. And the authority as their father can get it done. And so when I pray for somebody, I can just pray for them. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I command this to leave their body. Father, your word says that by the stripes of Jesus, they are healed. All sickness and disease is under the curse of the law according to Deuteronomy 28. But according to Galatians 3:13, we are redeemed from the curse of the law because Jesus was made a curse for us. So Father, right now, I thank you for healing their body in Jesus' holy name. Amen. And then I tell them, now when the good report comes in, you have to tell me. You have to tell me. You have to get a hold of me. Here's my email. Get a hold of me. And I've had people email me and tell me the good reports. Because I tell them, I am expecting a good doctor's report. I am expecting good things. Get a hold of me and let me know. And so we should be doing that. We should be laying our hands on and we should be encouraging them to expect God to move, to expect good things because we follow a good God. So I'm not criticizing anybody who's cut themselves off from everything. There does need to be some separation. But our goal behind it is not to be, attitude and what we need is, you know, really behind it. We're not afraid of the world. We're not afraid of evil things. We actually outrank them. We outrank them. We outrank evil. I'm not saying you outrank your balls or Tina or Brenda or Bob. I'm not saying you outrank them as a person. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying evil spirits in the world. You don't outrank people. God loves all people. But you outrank evil spirits. You outrank evil motives. You outrank those things. And God will protect you and keep you in all these things. We are not a bubble. We don't isolate ourselves in a bubble. But you need to get in the bubble. You need to come in the Bible. When they were persecuted, they came to their own company. You need a company. You need a church family. You need a life group. You need to get together because life is draining. Circumstances will cause your knees to wobble. Sometimes we will fall. Just so many things we face that can knock us off our spot. So we must have godly people and a company that will support us and lift us up. Look around and say, you're my company. You are my company. Y'all are my kind of people. I like you. I like people who can help me rise up to where I need to be. You need that in your life. So we said the command to go and preach the gospel. One, it is a command. And then two, I like this. These words are given to every follower. Because a lot of times we got it. I had a statement my grandfather would say in my head. Not good. We have it backwards. We believe the pastor should be anointed to go out and get people saved and build up the church. It's the pastor's job. It's the pastor to heal. It's the pastor's job to come over and take care of my boo-boos. It's the pastor, and don't get me wrong, I enjoy coming over to your house, especially when you offer me something to eat or drink. That's just good stuff. And so I love company, and I love being there, and I love helping. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying I don't enjoy doing that. I do. But can I tell you something? Your life group needs to step in. That's why it's important to be a part of a life group. Look at your neighbor and say it's important to be a part of a life group, because that's where you share what's going on. And then the life groups, we've had stories of life group praying for people. We've had stories of life group, somebody having a hard time or being sick, so food is being brought over. Somebody, needs, just having a hard time because of sickness. And so then, gas is being put into people's cars and all this, food's being bought. And this is happening not because the pastor commanded it to be done. It's happening because we live life in our group. We've come to our own company.
Yes, that's it.
Right. We need a company. So these are to follow every believer. It wasn't given to the 12 disciples and them alone, or just the pastors, or just the disciples, or just to this, but we're all disciples. Let me ask it this way. What are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission? That's the question I want you to ask yourself, not only today, but through the week. Where are you going into all the world? And let me say this. I heard something that just really moved me. Just because you have an experience with the Lord and healing goes through your hands does not mean that you're called to full-time ministry. Doesn't mean that. You are called to continue to do. If you're called to a full-time ministry, God will make it plain to you. He'll make it very plain to you. And there's also training time. And we never, ever, ever look down or get discouraged in times of training. And so everything you're going through is training time. Even as a disciple, it's training time. So if you're going to be called into full-time ministry, that's a desire of your heart. Not, I think I'm supposed to because I laid hands on someone and they got healed. That should be happening to every believer. Every believer should lay hands on the sick, and every believer has the power of God go out of them and heal the sick. That is not, be like, oh my gosh, my hands, full-time ministry, here I come, I healed someone. I have to tell you something that is wonderful. I went to visit someone in a hospital that just had surgery, and sometimes they have those sliders for lights on the wall, and I leaned back, and the moment I leaned back, the light right above me turned on. And I realized instantly, because I could feel it on my back, that it was a slider. And I lift my hands and I begin to rise. And the light was getting brighter and brighter. And I'm like, oh, the glory. And the person in the bed begins to laugh. And they're like, please quit, Pastor, please, please. It hurts so bad, it hurts so bad. And then I laughed even more and I thought it was hysterical. But you don't need a sign like that to know that you're in full-time ministry. Now, that's the reason I joined full-time. I'm just kidding. But you don't have to have something like that to show up. God will put a knowing on the inside of you. And miracles, signs, and wonders should be flowing through your hands because you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. These works you shall do even greater than what I've done. That's the believer. That's the believer. And so just because that happens doesn't mean you're called to full-time ministry. Doesn't mean you're not either. That's something between you and the Lord, and He'll speak clearly to you. But what are you doing to fulfill the Great Commission? Where are you going? So let's localize this. In your workplace, how are you fulfilling the Great Commission? I will be very clear, been very clear in the past. You are not there. You're not being paid to preach Jesus, because you know what will happen? You do that, you'll be fired. But if people ask you questions or God opens the door, feel free to answer those. And if in the workplace they correct you, you are submitted unto authority and say, I'm sorry that I did not understand the rules fully. I will, and then ask for clarification. If somebody asks me about God, am I allowed to answer them? If somebody asks me to pray for them, can I pray for them? Just get clarity from your boss. You're submitted unto authority. God didn't, go against people in authority like that in their places. So you need to follow authority. And it ain't on you, it's on them. But then if somebody asks you, just get clarification. And I'll tell you, when I got hired at a place, they told me, because they knew I was in ministry, they said, no talking politics. I'm like, well, that's half my conversation. And then they said, no talking about God. I said, well, that's the other half. They're like, I'm not going to be able to talk to anybody about anything. Do you know what? Every one of them, everybody, talked to me about Jesus and politics. And even the person who told me not to talk about God, came to me crying one day because her son committed suicide and her church told him or her that he went to hell. And she asked me, did he go to hell? And I said, the only way to go to hell is not have a relationship with God. And she said, well, he accepted Jesus as his Savior. Do you believe he went to hell? I said, I can't answer that question, but let me tell you something. If somebody is sick and they die, would they go to hell? Well, no. I said, well, then why would somebody be sick mentally go to hell if they took their own life? I don't believe that. Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't free up and say, well, if you kill yourself, that's an easy way out. No. We shouldn't be living that. The closer we get to God, the more we're not operating in that realm. But we don't know somebody's walk with God. We don't know somebody's whatever happened to them. We have no understanding. And the church should never be answering the question, somebody went to heaven or hell. That's God's decision, not ours. And we don't know what happened in the last moments. My prayer is that God reaches them on their last moment. We don't know. We wasn't there. And so I believe that God gives people ample time. I'm not going to bet my life on it. I'm going to get close to God now and do as much as I can for the kingdom of God. But my job is not to answer whether somebody went to heaven or hell, but to give people hope. And so, you know, it grieved me that her church would make that decision for her. And we see in church history that not only did we make that decision for people, but we would allow them to buy their way out. Yeah, because that's the way Jesus does it. Anyway, that was sarcasm if you didn't catch that. But let's look here at verse 20 one more time. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. Oh, I never answered about aliens. Oh, I wanted to say one more statement. Jesse is really disgusted that I went back to this. If there are people or some beings on another planet, then God is their Savior too. He's their God too. In Mexico, they call him Jesus. And in English, we call him Jesus. In some alien language, square, triangle, rectangle. I don't know. But his name is Jesus. All right. I'm glad I got that out there. So, you know, God is God. God is God everywhere. God is God everywhere. Look at your neighbor and say, God is God everywhere. Sorry. Somebody's going to get out there and be like, my pastor believes in aliens. I already told you I do. I call them angels. Now, new believers need to have stable older believers. Now, get this. You may be 50. You may be 52 years old when you got saved. And there may be a Christian that's 25. And that Christian that's 25 is more stable than your 52-year-old rear end. And that person is older than you spiritually. And so you need the stability. It doesn't, I'm not talking physical age, I'm talking spiritual age. And there's been people who've been saved for 50 years who still are at the level of a one-year-old. You need spiritual stability. Spiritual stability in your life. That's another reason for our life groups. Get in where people are spiritually stable. And if you're wanting to be spiritually stable, get in a life group. It's going to help the process. Surround yourself with godly people. Look at your neighbor. I've told y'all to say a lot of stuff to each other today. Look at him and say, get in a life group. If you are in a life group, look at him and say, I am. Sorry, I just sold some people out. In the church, we either evangelize or we fossilize. We either evangelize or we fossilize. I'd love to give credit to whoever said that, but I don't remember. We need new believers in our church. We need new believers in our own lives. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have new believers in your own life, I don't think you're truly fulfilling that call to make disciples. It's not only to evangelize, but it is to make disciples. So, can I tell you something? There's people in this church who invited me over for dinner a lot and who invite other people over for dinner. who invite people over to go out to dinner. There's people who want to go have coffee in this church and have been fantastic at it because they want to hang out with new believers. Some want to hang out with older believers and just talk. And life comes up when you talk and you share the gospel. You share your stories. And when somebody's going through a hard time, then all of a sudden you've been through that. You've been through it and you share your testimony. And they find out, one, they're not the only believer to go through that. I remember someone sharing with me, Pastor, they just got saved. They said, Pastor, I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I'm dying. I don't have, you know, most Christian people freak me out a little bit right now. I don't really enjoy hanging out with them. And then I go out with my old friends and I have nothing to do with them. It's just like, I feel like I'm dead. I feel like I'm dying. And I looked at them and said, that is the best description I've ever heard. Because you are dying. The old you is dead. And can I tell you this? And then a lot of Christians will say, I've heard this. Well, you shouldn't be mourning that. That's terrible. I can't believe you would even miss that old way. That's just Satan pulling at you, trying to get you back in. No, let me tell you something. There's a part of your life that has died, and it's okay to mourn. There are friendships that will never, ever look like the future like they look like in the past. And it's okay to mourn that. You've got a connection that is being severed. And whether that connection was good or bad, it's okay to mourn it. Because that's only life you've known. And yes, you may have felt like you were dying, but guess what? All things are being made new. And there's a process. It's not overnight. There's a process. So don't get upset with the process. And don't, you know, you may feel like you're dying. Or some of you may jump wholeheartedly in and everything was great. Whatever your way was, just know that there's someone else that experienced that same way. And you should be there to tell them it's all right. And that there's a life after that. And this ain't forever. There is a step. And you're going to get through this. And we're going to be here with you. Why don't you come over for dinner? Let's watch a movie together. Come on over and show them how Christians live. Good Lord Almighty. Single people need to hang out with other godly single people. Married people need to get some advice for some other godly married people, because if they get it in the world's going to tell them to cut and run. You deserve better. They probably got a side, what do they call it? Side something. Side people. Oh, we're not going to say that one. That scares me. We'll just say hustle. I don't know. Whatever they call it. Because I don't hang out with in the world a lot, so I don't know what everybody calls it. But in all of this, they may have, the world will give you wrong things. Magazines will give you wrong examples of what to do. And so they need godly people. Where are they going to go to get the answer? Look at your neighbor and say, life groups. Sorry. And so you, shameless plugs. All my life group leaders, stand up. There they are. There they are. Here's some life group leaders. Y'all can sit down. Get to them. Talk with them. Get involved. Look on the website. Find one. Get plugged in, because you're going to need people to hold up your arms. John 3:1-4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Yes. Now, during Christmas, you know, a lot of people are going to get things you plug in. Internet devices, all this kind of stuff, TVs, radio cars, I don't know, all these things, Xboxes, just randomly yell stuff out that plugs in. Jesse just told me, I don't know what kind of Christmas you're having. Hey, why do you think I didn't say anything out loud? But these hoverboards that are alive, they don't hover, they roll. They should be called rolling boards. And, you know, a lot of people are going to be calling tech, you know, be like, something's wrong, whether they're chatting online or whether they call a number to figure out how things work. Do you know the number one thing? I remember the last time I called about a computer, you know the number one thing they ask? Is it plugged in? The second thing. Oh, y'all got it. Is it turned on? Is it plugged in? Is it turned on? And have you ever called and one of those things been the problem? I see head shaking. Isn't that the most ridiculous feeling on your end? Especially when you're technical, you know, you got the technical side down, or you feel you got a good grasp on it. I've had that happen to me one time where I'm looking and looking and looking and looking, and I just plugged in. Oh, it ain't turned on. And so, you know what? So I'm going to ask you this morning. Are you plugged in to your local church? Are you plugged into life groups? And are you turned on for the Lord and the calling of God that is on the inside of you? So this morning, we must get plugged in. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Let me read this. And Jesus came and spoke unto them. God is still speaking. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the world. Amen. God tells us to go. Well, how do we do this? It is a big task. And, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And so if everybody is faithful right where they are, the gospel will spread around the world. The light will be breathed on the inside of them. The breath of God will ignite on the inside of them. Their spirit will connect with the Lord if we would just be faithful right where we are. If we just get plugged in and if we just turn on what God has called us to do. God has commanded us not only to go, but he's commanded us to make disciples. And that takes time and that takes personal connection. That takes a connection with you and others. Redemption, righteousness, relationships. It all works together, and that is how we not only give our life to God, not only get in the will of God, but we not only become disciples, but we turn other people into disciples. So if you've been in if you've been in the church for 50 years, who are you discipling? If you've been in the church for 15 years, who's discipling you and who are you discipling? And if you just got saved 2 weeks ago, who are you looking to for advice? Google doesn't know everything. And sometimes will give you the wrong answer. So get plugged in to your local church and turn your life on for God. So what is the mission of our church? Redemption, righteousness, relationships, making disciples of Jesus Christ. Every person in this place right where we are, I want you to ask yourself, God, what are you speaking to me? What are you saying to my heart? Just ask that question right now, right where you are. Lord, what was I supposed to get out of this? I believe the Lord is answering you right where you are. I believe God is giving you direction right now. Let's ask this. Lord, is there anybody in our life right now that we should share the gospel with, that we should pray for? Is there anyone we need to approach and invite them to church? Is there anybody in our life, in our workplace, in our family, in our friendships, that we need to go before you, that we need to talk to them? Father, I believe you're showing people right now. I thank you, Lord. I thank you that you're moving on our hearts right now.